I desire to see you, our lost friend. We desire to see you saved. I would say it's the greatest desire I have, the greatest desire that I believe this church has, is to see the lost that are among us come to know Jesus Christ, be saved, be forgiven, have everlasting life, and know that there is no judgment awaiting you, because Jesus has already taken the judgment of all those who know him as Savior. Don't hear the voice of this pastor. Don't hear the voice of this church. Hear Jesus Christ himself saying to you, come. Come. Come and be saved. Oh, I just pray that you might hear him tonight. Come. Come and be saved. I desire, if you're here and you're saved and you're a member of this church, but your life isn't everything it ought to be, I desire that God would revive and bring you to repentance. We're just wasting our time trying to serve the Lord with sin in our life and not repenting of it. It's got to be taken care of before our sacrifices are going to be acceptable unto him. I desire to see those that are burdened and going through great difficulties to feel that burden lifted a little bit as you're gathered together with God's people. And I've shared a few others this morning, and we still desire these things. I just don't want you not to know what our desire is for you. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. We do desire things of you. We desire things of ourselves. And we're spinning our wheels again if we as a church don't desire some things for those that gather together each service. May God work accordingly. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? and you desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Thought of our message this evening is sent to preach. Sent to preach. And we want to look at the subject in light of the fact that we are all sent to preach. We're all sent to tell the story of Jesus Christ. We have all been sent to bear witness to who Jesus is. Here, the 12 apostles, and obviously one of them is lost. But here, the 12 apostles are sent. They're sent with the message of Jesus Christ. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them. He sent them. We see in verse 3 through 5, the 12 supplied, provided for. In verse 3, 4, and 5, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and there depart, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. As these 12 are sent forth, the 12 are provided for. The 12 are supplied. They were to take nothing with them. They weren't to pack any bags. They weren't to prepare lunches or meal boxes or provisions in any way. They were to go, and the Lord's promise is as they enter into houses, they would be provided for. As we saw last week, God's people have needs. Doing the work of the Lord costs. Doing the work of the Lord was provided for during the ministry of Jesus Christ by his having people who provided for him, who were there to supply his needs. And that's how the 12 apostles were going to go forth also. In Luke chapter 8, verse 3, from last week, we read about Mary Magdalene, verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other certain women, which ministered unto him of their substance. Who ministered unto him, provided for his physical needs. All of the physical needs you would have had to live, to travel about, to be preaching. It was all provided for. In verse number 1 of chapter 9, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He gave them power and authority. Power and authority. They're provided for physically. They're provided for powerfully with the power to serve, with the authority to serve. And we find in the commission of Matthew 28, Jesus saying, all power or all authority is given unto me. go ye because I have all power and I have all authority. In verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they were sent and they were supplied physically. They were sent with power and authority. And they were sent with the message, the gospel, the power and the message of the gospel. In verse number 6, we see the 12 serving. And they departed, the 12. And they went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They departed and they went through the towns. You notice in chapter 8, verse number 1, that's what Jesus did. And it came to pass afterwards that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching. He went through every city and village preaching. And the 12 went everywhere from place to place, town to town, city to city, village to village. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. That's what they had been sent to do. In verse number 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Here we see the 12 being sent, the 12 being supplied for, the 12 serving. And here in this verse, we see them ceasing, coming to rest, coming back to Christ and stopping. Being a messenger for Jesus Christ can wear you out. It should wear you out. It should exhaust you. I can remember growing up the lives of missionaries that we knew and our churches had sent out. And the practice in those days was that the missionary went to the field for a couple years, and then they'd come home. They'd come home to rest. They'd come home maybe to do more deputation. But principally after being on the field for a couple years, they had to come home and rest because that's the pattern. The feeding of the 5,000 is found here in Luke chapter 9. And all four of the Gospels. And you pick up little things about the apostles coming back and giving this report to Jesus Christ. One of the Gospels tells us that he took them away privately to rest. Jesus knew that they needed to rest after their excursions, and he took them apart to rest. To rest. So in this passage of Scripture, you have the 12 sent, the 12 supplied, the 12 serving, and the 12 ceasing. But I want you to think, most importantly tonight, about what a blessing it is to be chosen. What a blessing it is to be chosen to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Every single one in this room tonight who is saved by the grace of God has been chosen to be a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ. As we ask you to write on on paper your testimonies. I'm a person of faith and what that means to you. As we ask you to do that, it's because you have been chosen in your salvation. You have been chosen to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. And I don't know that we understand the blessing it is to be chosen to speak the name of Christ. Not just preachers. I'm not talking about preachers exclusively. All of God's people are called and are chosen and are sent to be a witness for Jesus Christ. When I talk about the secret to church growth being each one reaching one, I really mean that. That's the New Testament way. We fill Jerusalem with our doctrine by each one reaching one, by each one being a chosen testimony and witness for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to concern yourself with dotting your I's and crossing your T's perfectly, theologically. You just have to speak for Christ. Invite someone to church. Open up the door before them that you go to church. Open up a conversation with them why you'd like to see them come to church. Open up to them. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't know you go to church. Tell somebody about Christ. Find some way to be a witness. You're chosen for that. I'm chosen for that. And I think in my life, and I think I can say probably in most Christians' life, our greatest failure is not being a witness for Jesus Christ. Not being a testimony for Jesus Christ. What a blessing it was for these 12 to be chosen. He didn't choose 100. He didn't choose 500 or 1,000. He didn't choose 7,000. He chose 12. What a blessing to be amongst those 12. What a blessing to be one of those 12. We're insecure. We're just weak. I confess it. We're a little cowardly. Let's confess it. It scares us to death. Most people. I've known a few extroverts that aren't scared of anything. But most people are scared to death to fulfill what God has called them and chosen them to do in being a witness for Jesus Christ. And because it scares us to death, we miss the blessing it is to be one of those that are chosen to tell others about Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, let's turn over there. And let's go to Isaiah first. I'm sorry, Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Can we hear that echo tonight? As it echoes from Scripture, as it echoes through the centuries, since Christ was here, Can we hear him saying, whom shall I send? Who shall I choose? And notice Isaiah here when the Lord says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah has been touched. Isaiah has been moved to the point where he says, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. He saw it as a great blessing, great privilege to speak for Christ. I think about getting a call from the President of the United States. And having him say, we need you to go and be an ambassador. We need you to go over this foreign country and this foreign land, represent our country. What an amazing privilege that would be. What an honor. But it pales in comparison to the fact that we have been called to represent the Lord. We have been sent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak the name Jesus Christ. We are representatives of the Creator of all things, the Sustainer of life, the Giver of life, the Saver of souls, the Healer, the miracle-working God. Whom shall I send? Does that echo down the aisle way tonight? Will anybody see that as a blessing and respond, here am I, send me? Who will go for us? Here we sit, Faith Baptist Church, County Road F, Wauseon, Ohio. Who's going to go for us? Who's going to speak the name of Jesus Christ? Who will see it as a great blessing? As the echo goes down the aisle of this church, and the Lord says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Will anybody see it as a great blessing and say, here am I, send me? Here am I, send me. Again, it doesn't have to be great and giant proportions. Just determine tonight. Just determine tonight to talk to one person this week. Make it simple. Determine. As last week we talked about serving the Lord, seeing ourselves called to battle, all through the week, coming back on Sunday and resting. Well, here we are on the day of rest. Did we accomplish anything last week for the Lord? Did we walk with the Lord? Did we do anything for the Lord that required our resting today? Well, here, a new challenge. Can you reach one person? Can you invite just one person? Do you have enough love for lost souls? Do I have enough love for lost souls to even inconvenience ourselves and pick them up and bring them if they need a way? See, that's another thing I remember from the old days. Missionaries went to the field. A couple years they'd come home, they had to rest. I can remember people always inviting and bringing folks to church with them. I don't see Bozo the Clown and giving bubble gum and ice cream away and filling a bus because of gimmicks. But I remember buses being filled up with people and bringing them to church. This is the honest truth. I don't know what my parents were thinking. I don't know what the church was thinking. But at 16 years of age, I was driving a church van. 16 years of age. Driving always came natural to me. I can drive anything. But I shouldn't have been driving a church van and bearing that load of responsibility at 16. But there I was. Little blue and white Dodge van. And I can remember going out and visiting, and I can remember going out and trying to get people to come ride the bus, ride the van. And I remember for the longest time there was two little girls who rode that little van. You think that was a waste of time? I don't think so. I don't know whatever became of those two little girls, but I know we brought them to church for a little while. I don't think that was a waste of time. Who will go? Who will reach someone for Christ? I don't know why. I really don't know why I feel so reinvigorated about our being more gospel preaching and reaching folks with Christ. But I do. More than I have in a long time, I see the need that the world has to hear about Christ. And you don't have to go to South America, and you don't have to go to Europe, and you don't have to go to Canada, and you don't have to go... Why would you want to go to Canada? I don't know. But you don't have to go anywhere. Our country, our state, our communities are filled with lost people. Filled with lost people that are on the virtual edge of perishing and going to hell because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to look far. Just look around you. And we need to reach them. We need to reach them. Because hell is going to be filled with those who maybe rubbed elbows with us, but we never told about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. What a blessing to be chosen. Acts 1. Verse 8, Jesus speaking here to the apostles. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Wow! Jesus speaking. He's the guy who's just been crucified. He's the guy that had just been placed in a tomb. He's the guy who's come back to life. He's the Son of God. And he says to them, ye shall be my witnesses in this city and in the communities around. Ye shall be my witnesses. What a blessing. Romans 10. Romans 10. Verses 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's really not saying somebody who takes the gospel has pretty feet. I've told you before, I have seen very few pretty feet. I don't like feet. I'm sorry. There's nothing pretty about them to me, and that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about the symbolism. How beautiful is the feet that takes the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the mountainsides, the cities, and the places round about. See, this is God's estimation. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news, the good news. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul said, I haven't baptized too many among you, Corinthians. That's okay. I don't mind the fact that I didn't baptize too many of you. He said, I kind of wanted it to be that way. I didn't want to baptize too many of you, lest I be overly responsible for you. I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach the gospel. I was sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing to be chosen to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ. Speak for Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 1 now. Verse 4 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. See, that's the same words we see, or similar words from Isaiah. Somebody was needed. Somebody needed to go. And the Lord had those coals laid upon Isaiah's lips. And the Lord reaches out in here and touches Jeremiah's mouth. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. You don't have to worry about having the right thing to say. You really can't say the wrong thing. If you go in the name of Jesus Christ and just speak, God is going to prepare the way before you. He's going to give you the words to say when you're there, and he's going to make it fruitious if he is pleased to. It's all his business. Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Wow. Jeremiah has his mouth touched by the Lord, and he's told to go and speak, "I have put my words in your mouth." And God says to Jeremiah, "I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I'm going to do big things with your just speaking. You're just going." I'm sure you've heard messages from this 10th verse. We don't have to elaborate. I've chosen you to go. I've put my words in your mouth, so go. And I have set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. To really understand all of those things, you'd have to study the life of Jeremiah. But Jeremiah rose through all the great places of authority, suffered greatly, and was found in prison for the name of Jesus Christ. He spoke before kings and was used of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing to be chosen. God help us overcome our fears, our shaking and our quakes and our dread, and just spit the words out. Are you a Christian? Do you know what it means to be saved? Do you go to church anywhere? Oh, you're saved? What do you mean by that? It's not really difficult if we just overcome our fears and our dreads and see it as a blessing to be chosen to represent Christ. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.